Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesis and Yuvadi Paskatyade Shatarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha Vanchakapa Chubhishcha Kipasandabhiyabha Chapati Janam Pavanevyo Vaishnavabhiyo Namo Namah. Today is September 30th, 2021, the VIHE, and we're studying Nectar Devotion, Chapter 32, our Part 1 of Stai Bhav. So this is the Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu, the Nectar Eternal Ocean of Mellow of Devotion that we're studying. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyavichari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. This is the fifth wave of the Southern Ocean, and this is going to be part one of three parts of the fifth wave. We might argue that this is the most important section of the Nectar Devotion. So Stai Bhav, this is about our basic relationship with Krishna. Okay. So this fifth wave of the Southern Ocean is a summary of this topic. And for this particular chapter, Chapter 32, these chapters, this particular chapter, Chapter 32, that's on the primary Stai Bhavs, is covered in depth in the Western Ocean of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the Western Ocean of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is dedicated completely to the five primary Stai Bhavs. So this is a summary of that. And in the syllabus, I had the verses slightly off. So the actual verses we're covering today from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are 2, 5, 1 through 38. So a summary of this chapter is that there are five primary basic relationships that act as the king of all other aspects of rasa. They can be self-nourishing or they can nourish other tastes. That would be particularly an important point for next week's class. There is a neutral basic relationship of three types without a sense of possessing the Lord, then four other relationships of a sense of deep friendship and possessingness with increasing taste, serving, friendship, parental, and conjugal. All right, what is the definition of Stai Bhav? So we've given it, Prabhupada talks about it as continuous ecstasy. We've given it a definition of basic relationship. Stai means to stay. So it is the most essential of the elements of rasa. And another word for Stai Bhav is rati. Rati means love. So Stai Bhav is the specific type of rati that is directed towards Krishna. And it dominates all the other bhavas that act as servants to it. Again, it's synonymous with rati. It's a bhav that controls, like a king, all the favorable and the contradictory bhavas. So we had a question. We had some very good questions for this class. Thank you to all those of you who asked questions and to those of you who didn't ask questions. So we had a question is, why would it dominate the non-contradictory bhavas? The idea is that the Stai Bhav is the essence of everything. So what, as we studied it previously, let's say in the Anubhava section, each Stai Bhav has had, there were some Anubhavs that were general for all the Stai Bhavs, but then there were certain Anubhavs that are particular for certain Stai Bhavs. just like, you know, wrestling and mock fighting. So this, I guess a servant could wrestle if Krishna ordered a servant to wrestle. But generally, this wrestling and mock fighting is going on between the friends. And so that's a particular anubhav that's going on between the friends. It's not contradictory to the sthaibhav, but the sthaibhav is ruling it. It's the essence of what's going on. And everything else comes from this. Everything else is dominated by this. Yes, and in a general way, for a Vaidhi Sadhaka who has no realization of their sthaibhav, then we could say that this is true about a general sense of being a servant, Jivera Swarupaya Krishnara Nityadasa. I'm a servant of Krishna, and that sense of being a servant of Krishna, a servant of Guru, dominates everything else. It dominates what stimulates my sense of being Krishna's servant. It dominates the intentional activities I do, the involuntary activities I do, and the various emotions I feel in service. All right, I'd like to open up for a general discussion about this relationship between the bhavas, the relationship between all of the different bhavas, and any questions or any discussion that you might have about how this sthaibhav, you know, we hear about this all the time, practically as soon as you join the Hare Krishna movement, that there's five basic relationships you can have with Krishna: servanthood, neutral servanthood, friendship, parental, and conjugal. So any questions or discussions about how these five basic relationships are the king of all of the other bhavas that we experience? Purnaproja Keshavu, do you have something?
Hare Krishna. Actually, I have some problems in understanding this basic concept. Actually, your PPTs are good and your explanation is good, but I didn't go through it after the class. So I had this mind in the second class onwards. So Sai Baba is the basic one, but how does it the other relationship, you are taking the other relationships sequentially? And last details, in between also you were adding the Sai Baba. But I was, the aromas, all those things, it didn't register in my mind properly, the proper understanding of it. So, individually some understandings I have, but when it collectively, without Sai Baba I have. But with Sai Baba as basic relationship, I am not clear, Mataji.
Okay. So, you have a mother and father, yeah? Everybody has a mother and father?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, if you're dealing with your father, you have a particular basic relationship with your father. I'm his son. Yes? And you could say that is the king of everything you do with your father is based on the fact that you have a relationship of being his son.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
So, like, you have something that stimulates your feelings of love for your father. Right? There's things you do with him, things he says, things about him, where you feel a sense of love for him. Correct? Right? So that's the Vibhava. Or do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one brother.
One brother. So if you see your brother loving your father, that may increase your feelings for your father also. And maybe you're not with your father, but maybe you get a letter from your father, or, you know, someone's talking about your father, oh, your father was such a great person in this way and that way, and that brings out your love for your father.
Yes.
And then you do things voluntarily for your father. You buy him a gift, right? Or you spend time talking with him. You do things for him. But again, that's all based on your relationship with your father. And then there may be things involuntarily. Maybe you think about your father and you're feeling such love, you start to cry. Right? You may, oh, my father's such a great man. And then you have different emotions with your father. Maybe sometimes, maybe you hear your father's sick and you become frightened. Oh, I hope he's going to be okay. Or maybe you heard that somebody insulted your father or cheated your father and you become angry. How can you cheat my father? Right, so you may feel different emotions, but your relationship of being the son, that is the basic thing that everything else comes from. So the Sai Baba is like that. The basic thing is Krishna is God, or Krishna is my master, or Krishna is my son, or Krishna is my lover, and all the other bhavas are related with that. So that's the king of the bhavas. Does that make it clearer?
Clear, Mataji. Yeah, thank you very much. That is then, actually, that is the sambandha relationship, actually.
Yes, it is the sambandha. Yes, it is the essential sambandha. And you can say...
And that is the prema. Prema is the basic. Sai Baba, we can also say sambandha. Relationship is a technical word, and prema is to have all the other type of relationship. Prema is also a component, and it also comes as a component of Sai Baba. Am I right?
Well, Sai Baba is also... Rupa is using the word rati as a synonym for Sai Baba. So rati means love. So the particular kind of love that you have. And then you could say the anubhavs and the sattvika bhavs, they're the abhideya. They're what you're doing. Yeah?
Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj. Okay.
Very
you.
Nice. Okay. Kasturika.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
It may sound a little silly question, but still it is lingering in my mind.
No, then there's no silly questions.
Is only only to the devotees, or to even applies to Krishna? I mean, because you see, when Krishna is hearing the pastimes of Vrindavan, he goes into ecstasy and he transforms into Jagannath. Or when Devaki and Vasudev, they're becoming awe and reverence to him, then he uses his yoga maya to cover them so that they can have this parental mood exchange with him. So, and also because Lord has all contradictions in him. So that's why I was thinking, is it only for devotees?
Well, I'm not sure if I understand you, but it has to go both ways. So if you're friends with somebody, then they're friends with you. If someone's your child, then you're their mother. It has to go in both directions. If someone's your husband, you're the wife. You know, it has to go both ways. So if I have a relationship with Krishna as my child, then he has a relationship with me as his mother, or mother-type person. It has to be. It has to go both ways. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Or did you mean something else?
No, but then while we are discussing primarily only about devotees, I meant to ask that.
Well, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the role of a devotee to experience the specific anubhavs of a devotee. Well, we were reading that in the anubhav section. That Krishna also... In fact, every form of the Lord other than Krishna has some mood of being a servant of Krishna and has a mood of taking all of these aspects of bhava in relationship to Krishna. So Krishna also enjoys all of these in the role of a devotee of himself. But again, I'm not sure if that's what you mean. Are you trying to understand Krishna's emotions as Krishna, the Supreme?
No, like I want to understand whether Krishna's emotions will be same if the devotee is appearing in different ways.
No. Just like you feel differently about your mother than you feel about your friend.
Yes.
Yeah. So Krishna feels differently about Mother Yasoda than he does about Subal.
Yes, that's what I want to know. Like, because his Atmaram, he's not labeled that but he's actually feeling that emotion.
Yeah, well, that's because the Lord wants to enjoy. He's Akhila Rasamrita Murti. This was said in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He's the form of all rasas. And this means he's enjoying every rasa. And one reason there's all these varieties in the devotees is that Krishna's then tasting all these varieties with the devotees. So the specific rasa that Krishna tastes with you is unique to you. I mean, even if a parent has, like my oldest son and his wife have 10 children, so they have a different relationship with each of their 10 children. So Krishna has a different rasa with each living entity.
Thank you.
Sure. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mahalakshmi?
Well, I was trying to explain that which you explained to Purna Praya Keshava Prabhu. Our relationship with Krishna is primary, is the most important. So, and everything is subservient, or how it says here.
It's right.
Yes, it's king. That is the king, not the relationship with Krishna that we have. And others are to be conquered by that relationship. Yes. So for a friend of Krishna, that relationship is superior to all others. And the relationship this devotee exchanges with all other residents of Vrindavan, or here with all other devotees, is based on that relationship that enriches his service or one service to him. And so how are the exchanges of that person with the rest of the devotees around?
Well, they have different relationships, you know. I mean, Subal also has parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the relationship of Subal with Krishna, I don't know if Subal's parents are trying to stop him from going to...
No, that's not. That doesn't happen with the friends.
That happens with the gopis.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe he also experiences some obstruction that does not allow him to flow as nicely and smoothly as when he is with him in the
forest. Well, all the devotees experience some obstruction sometimes that adds to the spice of the relationships. But the point is that, you know, because Krishna has different pastimes with different devotees at different times. So, like when Krishna goes off to be with the gopis, then the cowherd boys are thinking, you know, where is Krishna? And Rukmini is saying his mother gives him lunch and hopes he will share it with Krishna. Okay, Prabhupada Priya.
Hare Krishna. I always get asked this question that whether someone can have more than one sthayibhav in the spiritual world. You know, because when you hear about Krishna's path, the love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna, then it kind of evokes parental affection. When you hear the pastimes of cowherd boys, you want to get out there and play and wrestle with Krishna. when you hear about the love of the gopis, you think, oh, that's the most intense, that's the highest. So,
well, we'll look at that. What you just described is actually, you know, for a sadhaka who's not realized, it's not that meaningful. But for some, there is a stage of neutral, realized love where a person is like that. That's what they want to do. They experience everybody's love, but they don't act in any of those ways. They're just relishing it from thinking about it and hearing about it. We are going to discuss today about how some devotees have a mixed sthaibhav. They may have a mixed sthaibhav of, say, servant and friend, but one is dominant. I mean, another question, which I, another way of looking at this, which I don't have a definitive answer about, I've discussed it with a number of devotees, is we have people who are cowherd boys with Krishna, and then they're in Mahaprabhu's Leela, more in a mood of servants, and then they're in Ram Leela as monkeys. You know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says that there are some who are only in Gaura Leela, some who are only in Krishna Leela, some who are in both, and obviously some who are also in Ram Leela. But we could ask, is there a different sthaibhav? If a person is a monkey in Ram Leela, is that a very different sthaibhav to being a cowherd boy in Krishna Leela? You know, it's, and I don't really have the answer to that question. You know, to what extent is there something different about it? But Srila Prabhupada talks about how that the jiva, the liberated jiva, can also expand themselves. Not unlimitedly like Krishna in every atom, but can also expand themselves. Narada Muni talks about this in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Of course, when Narada Muni expands himself, he's generally Narada Muni. Of course, Narada Muni is also Srivas Thakur, which I always find interesting, because Narada Muni is this eternal brahmachari and Srivas Thakur is married. You know, so he also has this other situation where Srivas Thakur has, you know, it's not exactly the same as Narada Muni, although they're the same person. So
and
we will...
Also in here, like,
yeah?
Narada Muni gets attracted to the Rasa Leela and he wants to, you know, take part in it, so he has to take bath in the Narada Kund in Vrindavan, and he comes out a gopi.
Well, so there you go. You have these sort of examples. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because I was thinking that it can't be limited. You know, it can't be that you want, in the spiritual world, that you want to do something and you can't because you're stuck in a sthaibhav.
Well, also, my personal belief is that this question arises because of our material experience, where, you know, in this life, I'm stuck in this particular body, and that's it. You know, I'm a white American woman, and that's it. You know, I can't be an eagle, I can't be a dolphin, I can't be an Indian man, I can't, you know, this is what I am. And so we think, you know, my sthaibhav's going to be like that. It's going to be some limiting thing where I'm being forced. So I'm in this body because of the force of karma. I'm not in this body because I have some particular love for Krishna. I'm just an idiot. So that, you know, we think like that. Well, you know, Krishna's just going to say, okay, you there, you become a deer, and you become a gopi, and you become a this, and you're just going to be stuck with that, and you're not going to like it. And we'll discuss that more at the end of the class. Okay. So there's two types of sthaibhav. There's the mukhya, the primary or direct, and then there's the gona or the secondary or the indirect. And so the primary is neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, conjugal. And the indirect is humor, chivalry, wonder, anger, fear, disgust, and compassion or lamentation. So this chapter is just about the primary, and the next chapter is about the secondary. So today we're only going to be discussing the primary. Now, the primary sthaibhav is coming from shuddha-sattva, from unadulterated goodness. Shuddha-sattva vishesha atma. And how Srila Prabhupada translates this, a lot of the verses from the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu are also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The way Srila Prabhupada translates this verse, which is 131, is when devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, It is like a sunray of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes. Okay, so we're going to look at the two roles of the Stai Bhavas and then five varieties of Stai Bhavas. So the two roles. This is very important. It's not going to be so important for today's class, but it's going to be very important for next week's class. And we'll bring it up again. In fact, I'm going to have the same slide again next week. But the two roles that the Mukhya, or the primary Stai Bhav, can take is Swartharati and Paratharati. So Swartharati means it nourishes itself. Srila Prabhupada calls this selfish. And that doesn't mean selfish in a negative material sense. But it takes nourishment from the other spiritual emotions. So this is the Stai Bhav, is taking the primary Stai Bhav of neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, conjugal, is taking nourishment from the Vibhav, the Anubhav, the Sattvika Bhav, and the Vyabhichari Bhavs into itself. And Paratha, or what Prabhupada calls selfless, is it's nourishing the other bhavas. Now again, if we're going to have a material example, if we think about our relationship with somebody in this world, say a friend, so the feeling of friendship can be taking nourishment from what's stimulating the friendship, from what I do for the friendship, for the emotions of the friendship, can all be increasing my feeling of friendship. Or my feeling of friendship can be nourishing all the other things. So let's say I'm friends with somebody and somebody insults my friend and I become very angry. The anger can become dominant, so my friendship nourishes the anger that I feel towards my friend's enemy. Or the anger that I feel towards my friend's enemy can be nourishing my friendship. It can go in either way. Okay, again, this is important, and it will be important for next week. But these are the two roles that the primary Stai Bhav can take. All right, so this self-nourishing and other-nourishing applies to each of these five primary Stai Bhavs. And these five varieties are according to the individual nature of the devotee. We'll discuss this more toward the end of the class. All right, we're going to spend the rest of this first half of our class just on the neutral Stai Bhavs. And as we go through the neutral Stai Bhavs, I'd like you to be taking some note about how this discussion on neutral Stai Bhav can be relevant, especially for our preaching and our outreach. And we're going to have a breakout session on that topic. What is the relevance of understanding about neutral Stai Bhav in terms of our preaching and outreach? Okay, so what we've discussed before is this: the anubhavs that are specific to this are opening and closing the eyes, and the sattvika bhavs that are specific is quivering of the body, and that's described not here in the this described here in the Southern Ocean, but there are additional descriptions elsewhere in the book. So again, as we talked about in the Western Ocean, each of these Stai Bhavs is discussed more in depth, which I've included in some of the other presentations. Okay, so there's types of a neutral Stai Bhav. There's types of a neutral Stai Bhav. There's three types. There's samanya, which is a general neutral saiva. There's swacha, which is called a transparent neutral saiva. And a shanta, a peaceful neutral saiva. So samanya is general. It's commonly found. I thought this was fascinating, that it's commonly found with no specific type of attraction to the Lord at all. There's swacha, which takes on qualities of various types of attraction at various times by association with no particular taste of their own, similar to what Prabhupada Priya was talking about. And then shanta, these are liberated persons who are not inclined to any specific relationship. These have the least sense of possessing the Lord. And they love to hear about him. They love to see him. So this samanya, general, and this is described as a very general and common love of God felt by children and people in general. And there can be some ecstatic symptoms like trembling and change of color. Now, please keep in mind that, again, these daibhavs are due to the specific nature or inclination of a devotee. Now, in some cases, a person may experience neutral staibhav as like a stepping stone, that first they're experiencing neutral love of God, and then they go on to experience one of the other rasas. And in another sense, other cases, a person simply wants to be in neutral staibhav. So we had a question as to whether or not children are capable of experiencing all of the rasas. And the answer is yes. Love for Krishna is ahoitukiya pratita. It's not bound by any material circumstances. So any soul in any condition is capable. But generally speaking, we see that children, even children of devotees where the other staibhavs are known and talked about and so forth, that their love for Krishna is, if they have an advanced pure love for Krishna, that it's very general. I'm thinking about this common to the people in general. You know, little children often have this kind of innocent and ecstatic love for God in general. Oh, Krishna. You know, I was thinking about the religions of the world where people don't even necessarily know about the form of God and they don't know about specific pastimes of God. And if they attain to a state of ecstatic love, so this type of, this is not talking about somebody under the, you know, the modes of nature who's just, you know, a religious person in the world. It's talking about someone who's actually achieved an ecstatic state of love for God. But it may be just very general. Just, oh, Gloria, Gloria to God. Oh, hallelujah. And this kind of samanya seems to be in many of religions of the world what people are aiming for, what they have a sense that I'll just be aware of the presence of God. I'll be able to see him, I'll be able to hear him, I'll be able to be in his presence, I'll be able to feel love for him. But it's this very general kind of love. So an example specifically in relationship to Krishna is that Rupa Goswami gives, is why is my mind like beeswax become very soft? Is it because the sweet sun Krishna has risen on the street in Mathura in front of me? And the commentary is that the love is so slight that the person's not sure. Is Krishna causing this or not? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this is the statement of an ordinary person of Mathura on seeing Krishna after he had come to Mathura. So again, there's no sense of possessiveness. There's not a sense of, it is my Lord. Wow. God. Wow. I love God. It's a rati. It's a love. But it's very general. An example for children that Rupa Goswami gives is see that child just 3 years old who on seeing Krishna in front of her is running after him and calling out. Right? And I'm, you know, I've dealt with a lot of devotee children, and sometimes you see that devotee children, they have this sort of general, innocent, and very deep love for Krishna, but it's in a very general way. They're not thinking of Krishna in some specific way. It's not that it's not possible. Yes, it's possible. But we see this, we think of children, we think of their innocence. Simplicity. Okay, the next type is swacha, transparent. Now, this is not like a sadhaka. We're not talking here about sadhakas. We're talking about siddhas. So a sadhaka might think, oh, you know, Madhya Yasoda is so nice, and the gopis are so nice, and the cowherd boys, and everybody's nice. When they're reading about the cowherd boys, they like reading about the cowherd boys, and they like reading about the gopis, they like reading about the gopis, and they don't have any particular feeling of their own, but they may pick up those feelings. But we're not talking about a sadhaka, we're talking about a siddha. And this is how they relish their relationship with Krishna. So here the example given is a great devotee brahmana would sometimes address the Supreme Personality of Godhead as master, sometimes joke with the Lord as friend, sometimes he would protect the Lord with a paternal affection, sometimes he would cry out to the Lord, addressing the Lord as his beloved, and sometimes he would meditate on the Lord as the super soul. So this is how some devotees want their relationship to be with Krishna. So this Brahman expressed his ecstatic loving symptoms in different ways at different times, but in each instance, because of ecstatic love, the Brahman emerged himself in the ocean of happiness and became situated in pure love. So he was like a jewel that shows reality in varying colors. So this is a person, again, there's not much possessiveness. It's not like my son, my beloved, my master, my friend. But someone who's tasting all of these without committing to any of them. Without really going deeply into any of them. And there are devotees who want to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. So there, again, there's not service going on here. They're not serving the Lord in a particular type of relationship. They're just appreciative of all these different relationships, and as they appreciate these relationships, they also experience them to some extent. Now, again, neutral love of God can be a stage of development, or it can be a permanent basic ecstasy of a particular jiva. And again, this is not reference to a sadhaka who doesn't know what their sthayi bhava is. This is a person who has this sthayi bhava. So it's described those very pure persons whose hearts are fickle because of the lack of a particular taste for the ocean of happiness of the higher rasas, and who must thus conduct themselves according to the rules of scriptures, generally develop swacha rati. So a person who as a sadhaka stays on the Vaidhi platform and who just doesn't develop a particular taste. They like all the taste, but they're not actively engaged in any of them. And they may want to stay on that platform as their eternal relationship with Krishna. Okay, then we have the Shanta, peaceful, filled with Shama. And I would say that generally when we describe neutrality as a rasa, generally we're describing this shanta type of neutrality. So this is described as a non-differentiation of the knower and the object within the mind is called shama. That nature by which a person is situated in the bliss of his own atma after giving up the pursuit of material objects. So, of course, we also find a lot of people, like the first type of neutrality, we see a lot in what we would call religious people, and this we see a lot in what we would call spiritual people. So of the three types of neutrality, this has the least possessiveness and has no sense of possessiveness at all. There's not even a my lord. So in the other two types of Shantaras, there might be a little trace of my lord. But here it's not. There's absolutely none. Just a peaceful appreciation and love. A sense of beingness, a sense of awe. And there's an example. When Narada sang about the pastimes of the Lord on his Veena, Sanaka's body began to tremble even though he was a Brahma Jnani. So even though he was Brahman realized, hearing a little bit about the Lord. And this neutral love is aimed at Narayana. And we had a question about Paramatma because Rupa Goswami specifically says Paramatma. So initially this may be aimed at Paramatma in the universe. Narayana in the universe is Paramatma, the soul of the universe. Right? And another example is, because of serving the devotees, I have given up the happiness of liberation as insignificant, and surpassing the impersonal Brahman, I desire to see the dark-hued Lord. So the Lord exists in this universe as Narayana, and then he also, of course, exists in the spiritual world as Narayana. So this is God the Father, God the Witness, the Friend, the Creator, the Maintainer, and just this awe. And again, not even a sense of my God, just awe of God, and a sense that I have of beingness, and a sense that I have that I am the quality of God. And again, this, for some persons, this may be a stage in the development of their relationship. And for others, this is their sthaibhav. It's where they want to be in that sense of this neutral love of God. Okay, we do have a breakout group, but I can take... I see you have two questions here. So I can try to briefly take those questions. But it needs to be brief. Advaita Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Mataji. Is it possible that the Shantaras of this third category, or even the second category, Swacha, is just simply because of pure philosophical conviction?
No. No, this is it. This is an ecstatic sthaibhav. It's a rati.
Okay.
So this is again not sadhakas. This is not somebody who just has a philosophical conviction. And it's interesting, we'll be discussing that in the third part of sthaibhav. We'll be discussing the philosophical conviction as far as tasting sthaibhav and understanding sthaibhav. But no, this is a realized person who's in the spiritual potency. They're filled with the Ladini, Samvit, Sandini potencies. And this is their rati for Krishna. This is how they want to love Krishna. Again, for some persons, this may be a stage. But for others, this is how they want to love Krishna eternally, or how they want to love Narayana eternally. Kasturika.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mataji, then you are saying about children, but children born in our Vaishnava families or anywhere, all the children all over the world? Because how
both.
Do we know that
both.
This particular person is...
Both. In other words, what Rupa Goswami is saying is this very general love of God is without... It's a love of God. And there may be some little trace of my God, but there's no specific attraction at all. And that may be something that people in general can achieve, if we think about people in various religions. And it's something that a child, a little child who has no sense of a particular relationship with the Lord, but in their innocence, they're experiencing this ecstatic love. But children can also, I mean, it's not like, as sister said, it's not impossible for a child to develop a, you know, one of the other ratis. One of the other sthaibhavs. Prabhupada. These are very nice questions. Thank you. Prabhupada Priya? Oop, everybody's frozen.
Recording in progress.
Okay, sorry.
You're muted, Mother.
Sorry, I don't know where everything went down, but everything went down. Prabhupada Priya, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just became a little confused when you were describing how the person in Shanta Ras that feels the sense of non-differentiation between oneself and the Lord. It sounds a little bit like impersonalism.
Well, it's not impersonal because they're attracted to the form of the Lord. But they're attracted to the form of the Lord with a sense of oneness, without a sense of any specific relationship. But they are attracted to the form of the Lord. They're not wanting to merge with the Lord.
So it's just a feeling of qualitative oneness that
yes.
I'm a spiritual being and
yes.
So is God. We're connected.
Yes. But again, absolutely no sense of possessiveness there because of that sense of oneness of quality. And they're just liking to be in that sense of oneness of quality. That they want to be near the Lord, they want to hear the Lord, they want to see the Lord.
So there's still a sense of like smallness in relation to the Lord.
Yes.
Thanks.
And you're there as Ratnam, but I don't think your name is Ratnam. I think you also have another name, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What is it like all these paths and all this saiva, everything is centered around Lord Krishna? And how about the relationship with Radharani? So this, how does that differ to Radharani?
Okay, so we did mention at the end of the Vyavichari Bhav section that Rupa Goswami said that one's feelings for the associates of Krishna that are similar to oneself can also be called Vyavichari Bhavs. So the feelings that Lalita and Vishakha have for each other, the feelings that Subal and Sridham have for each other, the feelings that Yasoda and Nanda have for each other are also Vyavichari Bhavs. And the other category this goes in is with the Vibhavs, with the Ashraya. So the devotees act as a stimulus. So if you're a gopi, then the activities of Srimati Radharani, the activities of Lalita, Vishakha, Rupa Manjari are going to be part of your Vibhav, Alambana, Ashraya. And there will be all of these other feelings in relationship to them.
But still we have a Sai Bhava to Krishna, a strong intention to Krishna.
Always.
Always.
Always. That's the king.
But in some case, we'll be focusing, I heard that some of Rupa Goswami or Sri Manjari, they're focusing only on Radha Dasyam, only towards Radharani.
Yes, we do have devotees who their love for Radha is greater. And that was already mentioned. It's actually interesting. Rupa Goswami mentions it at the very end of the Sthayi Bhava section, but Jiva Goswami says it actually belongs at the end of the Vyavichari Bhava section. You know, as I pointed out when I talked about it, they didn't have word processors. So, you know, if you decided, oh, I should say that, then you have to just write it wherever you are. But at the end of the Vyavichari Bhava section, Rupa Goswami specifically says that whether you have more love for Krishna or whether you have more love for Radha or whatever, whoever you're following, in either case, your love for your associates with similar moods is also the Vyavichari Bhavs. Is that all right?
It's all right.
Okay.
So, but still he has time out to Krishna the strong. That's the
always has to be. That's the king.
That's it. Okay, thank you.
That's the king. Okay, we need to go on to the breakout room because we're going a little over time here. So we're going to have a breakout room, and I'd like us to discuss how these three categories of neutral love of God have particular application in our preaching and outreach. How are they a particular application in our preaching and outreach, these three categories of neutral slibab? So if you could set out the breakout room, please.
Recording in progress.
Okay, I just wanted, because of that question, I wanted to go back to the end of last week's class before we take a break. So this was written by Rupa Goswami in 25128, but Jiva Goswami says that this belongs in the Vyavichari section. And this is where devotees have love for their associates who have a similar mood. That's the Vibhava Alambana Ashraya that nourishes their rati towards Krishna. And these feelings are categorized as Vyavichari Bhavs. For some devotees, the love of their associates who have a similar mood is equal to or greater than their rati towards Krishna. And for some devotees, their rati towards Krishna is greater. But in either case, their love for their associates is in the category of Vyavichari Bhavs. And they are that is the Ashraya. All right, so we're going to take a 10-minute break. Please take a real break, and we'll see you again in 10 minutes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Recording in progress. Recording in progress.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to look. We've looked at neutral love of God and the three categories of neutral love of God. So now we're going to go through three other primary Sai Bhavas, and then we're going to go through the fifth one. So as we go through these three, and then as we go through conjugal, I'd like you to be taking some notes or thinking about devotees in each of these rasas that you particularly like, that are your favorite, that we'll have a discussion on. All right. So looking at the three, next we've looked at neutral and three categories of neutral. Now we're going to look at three other primary stai bhavs or mukhya stai bhavs. And these three have a sense of possessiveness for the Lord, mamata, and deep friendliness for the Lord. Now this is absent in neutral love of God or almost absence. So these are servitorship, friendship, and parental. So in servitorship, it's the Lord is my master. In friendship, the Lord is my friend. In parental, the Lord is my son or my student, my subordinate. And a sense of friendliness, not just awe. In neutral, there's a sense of awe. Now, these three relationships can have two forms. There can be single, kevala, or mix, sankula. So in Kevala, a person just has this one stai bhav. There's no traces of the other types of rati. Alright, so some examples of this, servitorship or vasala, friendship Sridhama, and parental Nanda. So these are persons, Nanda Maharaj only has parental rati, it's not mixed with anything else. Sridhama only has friendship rati, not mixed with anything else. And Rasala only has servitorship, not mixed with anything else. Then we have mixed, where a person has primarily one rati, and then they also have some of another primary rati. Now, the person is identified by what is more dominant. Now, this is not like Swachacha Shuddha Rati. This is not like the neutral stai bhav where you just kind of, you know, have some taste for everything changing. There it's not permanent. Whereas here we're talking about a permanent mixture. So servitorship is Uddhava, who also has some friendship mixed in, as evidenced in 11.11.49, where Krishna says to Uddhava, you are my servant, my well-wisher, my friend. Mukura also, she's basically in parental, but she also has some servant mixed in Nectar Devotion, chapter 20.23. It says Mother Yasoda once told Mukura, her maidservant. I could not find any information on what's mixed with Bhima's friendship. I could guess, but I'm not going to guess. So something's mixed with it. So Bhima is Krishna's friend, but there's another rati, either of servant or parental, that's mixed with it. Again, I'm not sure which. If any of you can find some pramana for that, that would be great. All right, so we're going to look first at servitorship, which is also called Dasya Bhav, or Dasya Ras, or Priti Rati, of affection. So in this Stai Bhav, a person always feels inferior to the Lord. So there's always a sense of inferiority. They feel that they are recipients of mercy. They're being given mercy by the Lord. They feel Krishna is worthy of worship. And they're only attracted to Krishna or what is related to him. Now again, you can see how this is different from neutral. In neutral, there's just this awe of God. Right? But here, there is a sense, my master. So an example that Rupa gives is, whether I am elevated to heaven or remain on earth or am dispatched to some hell, that does not matter to me. My only prayer is that at the time of death, I may simply remember your two beautiful feet. Right, friendship. So here the identification is as being equal with Krishna. There's a sense of familiarity and no sense of reserve. So the Anubhavs are loud laughing and joking. And this is what's described in the Southern Ocean, which is what we're in now, in the fifth wave. But there are additional descriptions elsewhere in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Nectar Devotion. And we quoted some of those elsewhere in our presentation. So again, this section of the Southern Ocean is a summary. Each of these primary Stai Bhavs are described in more detail in the Western Ocean. So an example of friendship is Krishna's thinking about how his friends are competing. I'm going to touch Krishna first. I'm going to touch Krishna first. Krishna's going to touch me first. Krishna's going to touch me first. They have this friendly competition. Another example is where the cowherd boys are talking about Krishna being defeated in mock fighting. So you find, even in this world, right, the boys are always having this kind of mock fighting with each other. All right, parenthood, or this is superiority. So servant is inferior, feels inferior, always inferior, friendship, always equal. Parenthood, or this also includes, teachers, guardians. They have a sense of being superior to Krishna, and there's a number of places where Srila Prabhupada talks about this, how generally religions in the world see God as the Father, but the Gaudiyas talk about becoming the Father of God. So here, instead of thinking God is worthy of my respect and worship, I'm thinking I'm worthy of Krishna's respect and worship. Interesting, huh? Krishna should respect and worship me. And instead of being recipients of mercy as the servants, they're feeling we're giving mercy to Krishna. Interesting. Right? Who understands this except for the Gaudiyas? I mean, there's some hints of this. There are some Christian saints who consider that, Jesus is like a baby to them. And of course, especially the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox are really into Mary, the Mother of God. But it's not a general understanding. So the Anubhavas are protecting Krishna, blessing him, kissing him, and touching him. Again, this is the Anubhavas that's described in the Southern Ocean Fifth Wave, which is what we're studying right now. But there are additional descriptions elsewhere in this book, elsewhere in Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu and Nectar Devotion. So this is not a complete description. All right, well, an example given in Jiva Goswami's commentary is that of Devahuti and Kapila. And he's quoting 3.33.21 of the Bhagavatam, that Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life, and that her only son Kapila left home. Although she knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very aggrieved at the loss of her son, just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. And the Bhagavatam talks about how Lord Kapila has his own planet in Vaikuntha, and the Devahuti goes to that planet in the mood of his mother. There was a whole debate among ISKCON leaders some years ago as to whether there's any of these higher rasas in the Vaikuntha planets, and this was one of the evidence. Of course, Devahuti sees her son as Vishnu, as Lord. It's a very reverential parental relationship. So Mother Yasoda worrying about protecting her sons and his friends from Kamsa's servant. I have to protect Krishna instead of Krishna's protecting me. Of course, sometimes even the parents say, you know, Indra's pouring rain, please protect us. But instead of Krishna protecting me, I'm protecting Krishna. Another example, Yasoda, whose heart was soft with affection and whose breast flowed with milk, caressed her son Krishna while holding his chin in her fingers. All right, then Rupa Goswami goes on to separately describe the most intimate primary sthaibhav, conjugal, which is not only described further in the Western Ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but is described in great detail in Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani, which is really like book two of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you could say. It's all this. It's every part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the vibhavs and the anubhavs, etc., in relation just to the Madhurya Leela. Okay, so here there's mutual enjoyment. It's between women and Krishna. There's an emotional state of being Krishna's lover. And this is true both for the gopis and for the queens. There's the greatest sense of these two things, possessiveness for the Lord and friendliness to the Lord. So these two qualities that distinguish these four sthaibhavs from neutrality are here to the in the greatest sense in this sthaibhav. So we had a very nice question for this class. Well, servants are inferior and friends equal and parents superior. Where are those in conjugal love? And the thing is, they feel all of these at different times. So they feel inferior. Naturally, as the female to the male, they have a sense of inferiority that Krishna is my husband or Krishna is my lover. There's also a sense of equality, right? That two become one. Now, this is said even in the ordinary marriage vows, that the two become one, they're equals. And like Krishna talks to Rukmini about husband and wife should be equal in their qualities. I was just reading this about King Ambarish and his wife, that they were equal in their qualities. And then sometimes there's a sense of superiority, where Radharani says, Krishna can't come here. And Prabhupada says, if Krishna wants to come, and the other gopis say, no, there is no order, I cannot let you come. So sometimes there's a sense of superiority, so all of them are there. And anubhavas are sidelong glances, moving the eyebrows, affectionate words, and slight smiles. Again, this is coming from this part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's Southern Ocean Fifth Wave. There's more descriptions elsewhere in the book. And of course, as we said, in Ujjvala Nilamani, much more extensive. So this is called a Madhurya conjugal, also Priyata Rati, which describes the devotee's or gopi's emotional state of being a lover of Krishna. So we had a question. There was a verse where Rupa Goswami says that this conjugal love is the root of eight types of enjoyment between the women and Krishna, but those eight types were not mentioned. So for this, I had to go to Ujjvala Nilamani, and these are the eight types mentioned there. Going for an appointment, decorating themselves, anxiety because of delay, devastated, feeling cheated, separation by quarrel, great separation, and controlling the lover. Right, so this is the most intimate sthaibhav. And I thought this was fascinating. We could probably talk about this for months and months and months. I just want to mention it, that this basic rati is the perception of the devotee as the experiencer and Krishna as the object of experience. So I am the lover, Krishna is my beloved. When Krishna is the experiencer and the devotee or gopi or queen is the object of his experience, that rati becomes a stimulus or udipana to increase the basic rati in the devotee. So the devotee is feeling, I am the lover experiencing Krishna, and when the devotee feels Krishna is the lover experiencing me, that increases this basic feeling of being the lover. One reference I can give for this is in the 8th shower of nectar in Madhurya Kadambini, where the Lord is so much relishing having the devotee relish each of his senses, to relish the Lord's beauty, to relish the Lord's fragrance, to relish the Lord's voice. This is also explained in the commentary in the Chaturshloki of the Bhagavatam. I'm pretty sure it's in the last of the 4 Chaturshlokis, though I did not have time to look that up. I'm pretty sure that that's where it is. And this is the most intimate, the example that Rupa gives. He gives just one brief example here, is for a long time, Radha and Krishna have been longing to see each other, all glories to the new sprout of hope of being able to see each other alone. Okay, we're going to have a breakout group, and if each person pick one personality, probably only have time for each person to pick one personality or pastime from one of these 4 saibhavs, servant, friend, parent, conjugal, and what they especially like about that one. So each person, you'll just have 1 or 2 minutes each. Pick one person or one pastime from servant, friendship, parental, or conjugal, and what do you particularly like? So we're going to have 10 minutes for this.
Recording in progress.
All right. So now we're going to have an overview of the 5 primary basic relationships. We're going to be looking particularly at verse 38. And Srila Prabhupada does not discuss verse 38 of the 5th wave of the Southern Ocean in Nectar Devotion at all. Although he does, it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita twice. Prabhupada does include verse 39 in this chapter, but we will be discussing that next week. So, although verse 39 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is in chapter 32, it's about secondary staibhav, so I've moved it to next week with the discussion of 33. And I'm going to look right now at text 38 from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which again is not in Nectar Devotion, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I want to especially acknowledge Hari Parshad, Radhai Nandamarj, and Vijay Somasundaram and Banu Swami for their help with my understanding text 38. Okay, so this is text 38. This is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita Majulila 8. 84, and Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 445. And in each case, Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse in those places, Madhya 884 and Adi 445, he only translates part of the verse, and the other aspect of the verse is given in the verse or 2 verses prior to it. So let's look at the word for word of this verse. So api is even though, so this, rati rati. Yatotaran is progressively. Swara vishesh alo la samayi, filled with joys of specific flavors. Kasyas chit, a specific individual, bhasate, appears, shines, or finds. Ka api, a specific rati. Svadvi as tasteful, vasanaya, due to their specific vasanas, which can be translated as desires, inclinations, impressions, or tendencies. So there's 2 main points being made in this verse. One is that there's a successively superior taste. And the translation that we can come up with from this word for word is from neutrality to conjugal, these basic relationships become progressively more blissful with taste and delight, and that's the part that Prabhupada will translate, and the other part is, but each devotee has a specific desire or inclination for a particular relationship. Now, the way Srila Prabhupada translates this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's interesting that Prabhupada's translation of this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita is exactly the same in both places. I find it highly unlikely that when Srila Prabhupada was dictating that he translated it exactly the same word for word. You'll find normally when Prabhupada translates the same verse in different places, the translation is at least slightly different. My assumption here is that some editor adjusted the translations to make them the same as each other. So Srila Prabhupada's translation in Chaitanya Charitamrita in each place is, increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another, but that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Which, as you'll notice, that is not specifically here. Okay, now a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the verse right before this verse. So this particular verse, 2538, is in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya 884. So the verse right before this, and this is spoken by Ramananda Roy, is, it is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. So this verse is saying practically exactly the same thing. And then the verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2538, is quoted as evidence. So here Ramananda Roy is making a point. Then he quotes the verse as evidence. And the same thing happens in Adi Lila. So Adi Lila 445 is this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quoted as evidence. In that case, we have two verses prior to it that explain the same thing. So these verses, Adi 443-44, are, each kind of devotee feels that his sentiment is the most excellent, and in that mood he tastes great happiness with Lord Krishna. But if we compare the sentiments in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all others in sweetness. So that's again from Adi 443-44, and then in Adi 445, there's a quoting of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2538 as evidence. So we have these two points, that there is an intensity of sweetness from neutrality to servant to friend to parental to conjugal, and that each devotee has their particular taste. So we're going to look at Jiva Goswami's commentary, and then we're going to look at Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. You will notice that this is not exactly the same as what you find in Bhanu Swami's translation. What I did was I found the original Sanskrit of this verse and the commentary, and then I asked Sanskrit experts to help me go through those commentaries word by word to get literal and readable translations of them. So I spent, I don't know, several days working on this one verse. So Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2538 is, after establishing the five types of ratis, right, which Rupa Goswami has just done that, there is a doubt. Are all the ratis considered equal, or are there gradations? If they're equal, then everyone's inclination should be for the same rati. If the ratis have gradations, why would a person have an inclination for a particular rati and not another rati? So his commentary, continuing Jiva Goswami's commentary, is, Rupa answers this by saying that each rati is increasingly delightful among the five ratis in succession. So that's part of the answer. They're not equal. There's a gradation of sweetness. So then Jiva Goswami brings up an objection. All right, out of the following three, which decides one inclination for a particular rati? due to no desires, due to one desire, or due to multiple desires. This, again, vasana is the word being used here, and vasana has several different ways of translating it. If there's no desires, then there won't be a taste for anything. If there are many desires, then there will be rasa-basa. Now again, this is different. Remember there's that one stage of neutrality where you just sort of, whatever you're reading about, whoever you're around, you pick up their mood. But that is a desire. It's a desire to not have any active service and simply to be able to relish everyone's mood that you're around without doing any of them yourself. Whereas here, if there's many desires, it'd be rasa-basa. If you're like, well, I want to be both Krishna's parent and Krishna's lover, ugh, that's a real rasa-basa. Okay. So reply, that's true, but if there's only one desire, then the person will try for that. So, therefore, there's only one desire. Now, we did talk about mixed ratis, like someone who's servant and friend, or parental and friend, or parental and servant. But in all of those cases, there's one that's dominant, and there's compatibility between those two. All right, so then Jiva Goswami is going on. How do you determine one's desire for a particular rati? And he says, although it's difficult to understand the difference between rasas, and that particular phrase can be translated in a variety of ways, but somehow it's hard. This is some inscrutability. One can confirm its identity, that it's talking about in oneself. One can decide in oneself what is one's rasa by comparing scriptural descriptions of rasas with one's own inclinations, and by inference through seeing how rasas different from one's own rasa either nourish or fail to nourish the total ingredients. There's a similar statement in Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 285, where Prabhupada says, by sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, parental affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. There's also a statement earlier in Nectar Devotion, which I was not able to find in the time that I had, where Prabhupada says something almost identical to what Jiva Goswami is saying here, that by hearing and reading the Shastra, one has, oh yes, I have affinity with that, and I don't have affinity with that. Okay, going on to Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary, he says some very similar things to Jiva, but there's enough difference that I wanted to talk about it separately. After establishing the five types of ratis, there's a doubt. Are all the ratis considered equal, or are there gradations? If they're equal, then why does someone have an inclination for one rati and not another? If the ratis have gradations, then shouldn't everyone have an inclination toward the highest rati? So he's also asking a doubt, but he's asking a little bit of a different way than Jiva's asking it. And he gives the answer that Sakya rati contains more taste than Dasya, and Vatsalya has more than Sakya, but Madhurya has more taste than Vatsalya. In this way, the rati becomes enriched with more and more delightfulness of taste through its progressive gradation. So he's answering the first part of the question, are they the same or are they progressive? He's saying, yes, they're progressive. Then as far as a particular rati being tasteful to a particular individual, and he says this happens due to bhaktasya prachina vasanaya. So bhaktasya means of a devotee's. Prachina can mean ancient, former, or previous. Vasanas can mean desires, inclinations, impressions, and tendencies. So you can see several ways, you know, some people will translate this as it's due to impressions in previous lifetimes. Some people will say it's due to ancient desires. And all of these ways of explaining these words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary would be correct. He says, or, kimva, it could be that a particular rati appears tasteful to an individual because in this birth one gets a particular taste and no other taste by great mercy. So the Sanskrit is asmin eva janmani tadrisha mahat kripaya ruchir nan yat reti. So this Mahat Kripaya, by great mercy. So sometimes that's translated as by the mercy of a devotee, Mahat meaning a devotee, but the literally it simply is by great mercy. So this commentary could mean that some devotees have been cultivating their eternal rasa for more than one life, whereas others develop or revive or experience their ruchi in this very life. But it can be, there's some ambiguity. If we turn to how Srila Prabhupada consistently explains this, and there are many, many, many quotes, I've picked two. So from a lecture on Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 116 given in 1975, quote, "All the trees are living desire trees, spiritual. They can serve Krishna in any way, desire. They have become trees by their voluntary desire. They're all spiritual beings. There is no force. But everyone has got a particular tendency to serve Krishna in a different way." And then here's one from Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, same lecture. So if we take it very seriously, then we become gradually advanced and eligible or fit candidate to go into the spiritual world in this life. You'll also be one of the associates of Krishna as you desire. Krishna will give you the opportunity to serve him as you desire. If you want to serve Krishna as a gopi, you'll get that position. If you want to serve him as cowherds, boyfriends, you'll get that opportunity. If you want to serve Krishna following the footsteps of Mother Yasoda, accepting Krishna as your son, you'll get it. Accepting Krishna as your son, Nanda Maharaj following. Okay, so I wanted to end here with a discussion of these points of the gradation of rasa and the individual taste. So just a general discussion. If anybody has any questions or anything anybody would like to bring up. Yes, Mahalakshmi, I remember you had a question on this verse. Were you able to kind of distill your question?
Well, I'm not sure about this point, how if one has not yet reached to understand one what is one's own rasa, how the emotion related to the rasa can be in the heart.
Well, it won't.
That is what it says.
Where?
This verse.
If I don't yet know that you're my friend, how am I going to have emotions related to your being my friend?
That particular taste arises in the devotee according to his previous experiences.
Yes.
But we are talking about a devotee who has not yet understood one's rasa.
What? No, we are talking about a devotee who has understood.
All right.
They've understood because of their previous desire or previous experiences. Okay?
All right.
Good meaning.
That makes sense.
Hare Krishna Mataji, one small question.
Yes.
So, does it mean, say, for example, if I like the role of Jatayu and Sabani and Hanumanji more, if I like that more and I'm attracted, does it mean that I'm in that mood? How do I understand this?
Well, you want to make sure it's not just intellectual. You know, someone who's not yet free from the majority of anartas might just have some intellectual or whatever attraction. But at a certain point, when most of the anartas are removed, then one will have a spontaneous attraction. And it's undeniable. I mean, one thing about the spontaneous attraction, it's, again, we have a sthaibhav. And a sthaibhav is something that stays. It doesn't go away. You know, and it's very much based on these bhavas. I mean, Srila Prabhupada often cautions that this will only awaken when one is at least at the end of anartha nivritti, which you know, agnista, that there might be some awakening like that. It's interesting, whenever Srila Prabhupada was asked intellectual questions about these things, he would discourage it, and whenever devotees wrote to him that they were having actual emotional realizations, he would encourage it, even for very new devotees. So that's something that I've noted over the years. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Mataji.
And thank you for joining us from the shop. Are you in India?
Yes, I'm in India. I'm in Hyderabad.
In Hyderabad. Seeing your shop, I'm missing India.
Hare Krishna.
Is this your shop?
Yes, I'm supposed to be here. So this is my shop. I have four shops. One of them is this.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for joining our classes, even though you're in your shop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rukmini?
Yes, so thank you for giving these alternative translations. So in Panu Swami's translation, which was somewhat ambiguous, the word impression occurs several times, and so you went by a little bit quickly, but I didn't see the word impression in any of the translations in your slide. So what was impression translating, and how was it translated differently?
Vasana. So,
Vasana.
Okay. Yeah, so let me go back. It is there. So it's right there. So.
Oh, I see. As one possible translation of Vasana.
Yes.
So usually when we see the word Vasana, it's in the context of reincarnation, and also in the context of Jyotish, which is talking about our past life, that we cultivate something and then it develops into a vasana, and it's stored in the heart, in the chitta, and then it is manifest. So are these vasanas in the chitta?
You know, I don't know. I mean, when I did a search... When I did a search on the Veda base, and I can show this as well, I mean, I really put as much effort into this as I could with the time that I had. When I do a search on the Veda base for Vasana, and generally it's being translated as desires. So
yeah, that's the wrong Vasana that you have.
Yeah, that's the wrong one. Yeah, I have to get the right one with the diacritics. Here we go. Okay, here we have one that's the right one, endowed with many desires. Here we have karma, vasana, by the desire for fruit of activities. That's just a name. Somebody's given that name.
So usually, like when studying Jyotish, so there's samskaras, but so we have...
Well, here you have an example. Here you have an example of, this is, of course, from Radhananda Maharaj. If we look here again, we have desires. This is in Jyotish.
Okay, so just any desire. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you look at this example, here or... Okay, that's another one. Here's a samsara vasana. And this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my conclusion was that it was somewhat ambiguous. That was my final conclusion after delving into it as deeply as I am personally capable of delving into it at this point in space and time, was that it was ambiguous. And that the inclination is coming from, it can come from some great mercy in the present, which could either create it or revive it, unclear whether the great mercy in the present life is creating it or reviving it is unclear. It's simply, it's great mercy in the present, or it's coming from something previous, how previous, when previous, and is that impressions, is it desires, again, is it a bestowal, is it an awakening, is not given. So it's just not given. So that information is not, it's not there. It's something that one could impose that upon it, and it would be not wrong to impose that upon it, but it would be an imposition, because it's, that information is simply not there if you're going to go by the literal meaning. If you're going to look at how do various persons tend to interpret that literal meaning, then you're going to have some range which could all be acceptable. I was frankly very happy with the ambiguity. My ultimate feeling about it was, I'm glad there's ambiguity.
Okay. And there's nothing in the Sanskrit, and I mean, I don't see anything even in Bhanu Maharaj's translation about any other devotee. Like you know, I mean, one could maybe like guess that one gets kripa of a devotee, but there's nothing actually mentioning any other devotee.
Well, the Mahat Kripaya, again, idiomatically it could mean the mercy of a devotee, but literally it simply means great mercy. And again, that great mercy is not, is it a bestowal or a revival, is not, it's just not there. It's just not there. So you can...
And it could just be Bhakti Devi's great mercy or something.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
It's not...
Okay.
And this is why I went so deep into it. You know, I have... if you like, I got the Sanskrit for the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, both the verses and the commentary, and anybody who wants.
Oh yes, I would like.
Maybe I'll just give that to Sakti Swarupini, and she can share that with everybody as they would like. I'm sorry, Prabhupada Priya, I'm not going to be able to get to your question at 7:30, and Chaitanya told me that she's putting out the prasadam early today, so I really want to run over there. I'm just going to remind everyone, please write your reflections. Please take a minute to write your reflections. 2 to 5 minutes to write your reflections before you go on to other things. And we will see you next week, Krishna willing, for the secondary Saibhavas. And then the next week to really go into some of the really churning understanding of Saibhav in general. Thank you very much. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.